Father, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for opportunity to present your word as truth. Opportunity, Father, just to present this, God, that eyes would be open to see exactly what we need to see. And God, ears would be open to an understanding, God, maybe they've never understood it before. Maybe they've never seen it like this before. Father, so I ask that every understanding, every person would hear this morning. If they chose to be here, God, I want them to hear it. Father, I'm asking that every heart in this place would be a sponge this morning, that would soak this up, be thirsty and hungry for your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your scriptures with you, please open up to two places this morning. Much of this will be on the screen. Some of it will not be on the screen. So Matthew 2, obviously we're here celebrating Christmas. And you can turn to John 18 and 19. Turn to John 18, put a marker in John 18, and we will be right back there in a minute. So turn a marker to John 18, and then turn to Matthew 2, and we'll start off in Matthew 2. Awesome. Got many people here that we have invited, and I'm so grateful that friends and family have come out. So grateful that you choose to be here on this celebration of Jesus. Amen. I mean, many of us know the Christmas story. I'm going to start reading in Matthew 1. Let's check this out. Verse 18, Matthew 1 says this. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph. That is like an engagement. Okay, Israel's engagement, our engagement are different. Our engagement is a time period where, you know, you're checking out her and she's checking out you and you think she's kind of cute and she thinks you're pretty much of a stud and you know, time passes and you're like, listen, I just totally can't ever be without you for the rest of my life. And you know, I'm thinking the same thing about you. I can't think of days not being with you. So then we get engaged and then we prepare for a wedding. That's the American way. It's pretty cool. Their way was a bit different. See, when they got engaged, when they were betrothed, it was actual a legal binding agreement that took a divorce to get out of it. It was serious. It was serious where they were betrothed for 1 year period. And then they would come into a week-long celebration. And then they would consummate the marriage after that week-long celebration. So betrothal pretty much is married without the benefits, I guess, if you can understand what I'm saying there. So for you got that. God bless you married folks. Hallelujah. Amen. And the wives are like, what? No, you don't get it. Anyways, this is great. Verse 19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, not wanting to disagree with her. Now listen, she gets pregnant. They're betrothed. Joseph is looking at her and he sees that she's now pregnant. And he's like, Mary, what is the deal? Did you realize in the Old Testament they could have stoned her for this? Listen, they were in a very small place, a very small village, maybe 300, no more than 1,000 people. That's like Walmart, folks. That's how many people in Walmart. This is where they lived. And could you imagine this virgin being pregnant where everybody knows everybody. They didn't even have, they had huts, man. Everybody knew everybody's business. And then there's Mary, pregnant, and they're not married yet. Somebody's messed around. I mean, this is what they're doing. And they look at this. Joseph had the right to have her stoned. And amazing, an angel shows up. Joseph, that's not the deal. Joseph, regardless of what the town says, that's not what happened. Joseph, regardless of anything that you might hear, all the gossip, all the nonsense, all the garbage, Joseph, regardless of any of that, this is from God. This is special. This, that which Mary is pregnant, Joseph, she's given birth to Emmanuel, which is God with us, whom is the Messiah, who is Christ the King. So Joseph takes her, and then chapter 2 says this. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star and we've come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled and all Jerusalem with him. Now look at this. Here are the Magi, the wise men, they show up. And they're asking around Jerusalem. They're asking around, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Listen, Jesus, we got to get this. The title of this message is this. Jesus is King. I want you to see this. Jesus is King, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal. We've got to recognize if we belong to Him, He is our King. He is our Messiah. He is our Lord. And we look at this, Jesus as King. Jesus, look, they came to recognize, where is He who's been born King of the Jews? We've heard, we know, we understand. Where is He who's been born King? Folks, He was born King. In the Bible, God makes it a big deal. We're going to see that throughout today. God has made Jesus as King huge. And we've got to get this. Jesus as King, it's a big deal. Number one is this. Jesus was born a king, but it was unknown to Bethlehem. Jesus was born a king. Where is He? He has been born King of the Jews. Herod. Now, Herod was the king at the time. And Herod was a jealous, evil, angry, terrible ruler. I mean, he would just kill people at his whim, right? I mean, he was very jealous. He had his brother-in-law killed because he thought he was a threat to his kingdom. Listen, he killed two of his sons. Then he killed a third son a week before Herod was going to die because he thought that he might be a better ruler. That evil. I mean, Herod even killed his own mother-in-law. Some of you thinking, well, I mean, don't pinch your husband. Renee, I can feel you looking at me, honey. Is she mad? Is she looking? All right, amen. I love your mom, honey. Praise the Lord. He's evil. Kills his own wife. He arrests. She loves me. He arrests all the influential people in Jerusalem when he is sick and he knows he's going to die. And he gives the orders. This is how evil this is. He gives the orders that the moment that I die, I want all these influential people killed so that there'll be tears at my death. So he is a jealous, evil king. And we heard that there has been born a king. He had every young boy from 2 years and under killed, trying to find and kill Jesus. Jesus as king is a big deal. It was a big deal then, and it's a big deal now. Look at this magi. We have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. They show up, and after coming into the house, they saw, this is verse 11, after they saw a child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground and they worshiped him. And opening their treasures, they presented him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Gang, this is the deal. When they recognize that this is the king, this is the one we've been waiting for, this is the one, and they go and they present gifts to the king, they present gifts to this child, they recognize, number one, that Jesus was king. We understand this and we recognize that. Luke 1 says this. This was the angel speaking to Mary right before the birth. This is what Mary, look at this. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him a throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And his kingdom will have no end. Look at this. He will be great, Son of the Most High. He'll have a throne. He will reign. He will have a kingdom that has no end. King. King Jesus. Mary knew this. Joseph knew this. Mary got prophesied over in the temple. Said, Mary, this child here will save Israel from their sins. This child here is the Savior of the world. This child here is Emmanuel, God with us, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Mary, this child here is going to cause you great pain. See, this child here, Mary, is going to be as if the Spirit goes into your own side. Mary, you are raising a king. Mary, you're raising the one true Savior of the world, the one that you've read about. Mary, you're the one. You're the one chosen by God to carry this gift as king to his kingdom. There will be no end. Jesus was born king. They go to the inn. No room at the inn. We know that he was born possibly in his first throne might have been a feeding trough. Bethlehem went on and did their business. And here a king has been born. A shepherd's come. Maybe 6 months, the Magi show up. But Bethlehem, they had no idea what was taking place at the end. No clue what was taking place. It was unknown to Bethlehem. Could you imagine this, though? Seriously. Could you imagine, okay, Jesus, they go, they escape Herod. Herod dies. They go back home, and now there's Nazareth, and they begin to have a family. The Bible says that Jesus had four brothers and some sisters. That's the account that they give us. We have no idea how many. Could you imagine, seriously, could you imagine what it would be like to live in the same home as a brother and sister of that which is perfect, Jesus Christ? Could you seriously, could you imagine that right there? I mean, they didn't get it, though. I don't know how. Listen, if he went golfing, his scorecard's 18 every time. I mean, every time, pop, the hole off the tree. Listen, hey, James, I'm going off the tree, off the golf cart. It's going to come back and hit you in the nose, and then it's going back. I mean, every time, 18. That's awesome, right? I mean, when he goes to the beach, all of a sudden, I mean, his brothers are going, why? What is he doing? He's speaking out something. He goes to the beach. It's perfect sun. Waves are just right. Never rains when Jesus goes. And then he's outside and he's looking at the stars and he's going. And you could see his brothers going, dude, you're weird. What is wrong with you? I mean, I'm just counting them. I've already named them and counted them. I'm just bored. So I'm doing it again and again and again. Like, really? Come on. Could you imagine what it would have been like to live in the house with the King of Kings? Could you imagine mom coming home to something that went wrong and looking at the family going, what happened? And turning to Jesus, Jesus, what happened? Like, he can't lie, right? He can't say, I don't know. He knows everything. He can't, you know, he can't wiggle his, and she knows it wasn't Jesus. And, you know, they're like, Jesus, you never get in trouble. Jesus, you weren't even here and you know what happened. How did that happen, right? I mean, this is the home. And then could you imagine Joseph gathering his children? And then getting into the Old Testament. And then they come across a verse like this. Micah 5 says this. But as for you, Bethlehem, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from the one will go forth for me to be the ruler in Israel. His goings forth are long ago from the days of eternity, which says, listen, from Bethlehem, who is tiny, who is a know-nothing town, God's coming from Bethlehem. I could imagine James looking at Jesus going, weren't you born in Bethlehem? We were born in Nazareth, but then maybe a verse like this, Joseph reads, Isaiah 7:14, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child and bear a son, and he shall be called, his name shall be called Emmanuel, God with us. And then I could see Simon going, you know, we live in a small town. And we've heard our friends tell us stories from their parents about a girl named Mary who was supposedly heard this crazy story. She was a virgin and got pregnant, right? Could you imagine these Old Testament counts when you just begin to see over and over? And then you get one like Psalm 22. The Bible in the Old Testament testifies to what Jesus is going to go through. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax, is melted within me. My strength is dried up. My tongue cleaves to my jaws. And you lay me in the dust of the death, for the dogs have surrounded me. A band of evildoers has encompassed me and it pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones, and they look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. I could imagine Mary and Joseph, who understand and know exactly who Jesus is, know exactly what it's going to take to save Israel from their sins. I could imagine when Joseph is reading this, and Mary looks at Joseph, and Mary looks at her son Jesus, and there's not a brother or a sister who have a clue, but there is a look, and they realize, that's my son. That's talking about Jesus. And then they come to Isaiah 53 and Isaiah 52, where it talks about there's this one who hangs on a cross and he's unrecognizable as a human being. He took the hit for us. He took the chastisement for us. He took the transgression for us. He's pierced with a sword, and it pleased God. This huge, pleased God to crush his own son. And here you've got Mary and Joseph and maybe even Jesus, who knows exactly his call, knows exactly what it's going to take. And the three of them have a moment there in devotions, where they know Jesus being prepared. There's going to be a day that I'm going to put myself on a cross. And Mary looks at Joseph. The Bible says many times that Mary pondered things in her heart. She just went over it and over it and over it and over it. He's unrecognizable as a human being. Could you imagine that? Having as a mom to play that over and knowing the responsibility, knowing what's been prophesied, knowing Old Testament, knowing Scripture, knowing that your son, who you love, who you care for, who you brought up, that son will be on a cross and you can't even recognize that he's your boy. Incredible. Incredible what it must have took to go through Old Testament accounts of the life of the king. Amazing. Amazing. And you have Matthew 18, please. See, there was a time when Jesus turned about 30, went off, started ministry, started his journey towards Jerusalem, knowing I've got to get to the cross, knowing I've got to go through trials, knowing I'm going to be crucified. And he begins this 3-year deal. Miracles, compassion, caring, loving, forgiving. It's an amazing journey for 3 years. The Bible says the time has come. He set his face towards Jerusalem and he's on trail. The day and hour comes when it's time for Jesus to go into Jerusalem on his final journey. Listen, folks, there were those who believed that he was king. There were those who trusted and believed that this is the Messiah. This is the king. He's coming to reign. He's coming to take his throne in Jerusalem. He's coming to take his rightful place in the temple. This is it. Our king has shown up. We're now going to take over. Now Israel's going to be on top. Now Jerusalem's going to be on top. Our king has shown up. He's going to take his throne. And then look at this. I want you to see this. See some scriptures here in regards to him coming down into the hill. Philippians 2:10. I'm sorry, not Philippians 2:10. Not that one, I'm sorry. Yes, right here, Zechariah 9:9 and John 12. Look at this. Greatly rejoice, O daughter of Zion. Shout in triumph. This is prophecy. Daughter of Jerusalem, behold, your king is coming to you. He is just endowed with salvation, humble and mounted on a donkey, even a colt. Look at this one, John 12 says this. This is huge. They begin to celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem. Took the branch of the palm trees and went out to meet him. They began to shout, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel. Jesus, finding a young donkey, sat on it. Gang, this is the deal. There was this large crowd, Jesus coming into Jerusalem. They laid branches on the floor. They laid coats on the colt. They laid coats on the ground. I mean, they did everything they could to present their king to Israel as he's taken over. And then their king gets arrested. Their king goes before trial after trial after trial after trial. And their kings don't get it right. What happened? We're just celebrating him on the hill, coming down to take his throne, and they just took custody of our king. They just arrested our king. Look at this. John 18 says this. Jesus has been arrested. Jesus is now before the governor, Pilate. And I see this in the beginning where Jesus was born, where him being king was a big deal. And you begin to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You begin to see where in his arrest and in his crucifixion, you know what's a huge deal? You know what they continue to comment on? You know what Pilate's questioning him about? One thing. His kingship. It was a big deal that Jesus was king. Look at this. Verse 33, chapter 18. Therefore, Pilate entered again to the praetorium, and he summoned Jesus, and he said to him, Are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered, are you saying this on your own initiative, or did others tell you about me? And Pilate answers that I am not a Jew, am I? Listen, he says, I'm a Roman. I'm the governor of Rome. This isn't my business, Jesus. That's what he is saying here. Jesus, listen, I'm not a Jew. Whether you're a king or not, makes no difference to me because I'm Roman. Look at what he says. Your own nation and the chief priest delivered you to me. So what have you done? Huge. And Jesus answers, if my kingdom is not of this world, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would be fighting so that I would be handed over to the Jews. But it is my kingdom is not of this realm. Therefore, Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Huge issue, folks. Huge issue. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I'm a king, for I have been born. And for this I have come into this world to testify to truth. Verse 39. Pilate goes before his people and says, now you have a custom that I release someone for you at the Passover. Do you wish that I release for you the king of the Jews? And so this is Jesus' people. This is the people of Israel beginning to cry out. Release Barabbas and kill Jesus. He's saying, listen, he's your king. You know what they're saying? He's not our king. Jesus, who has been born king of the Jews and his own people. See, he's no king of mine. Him being king, folks, it's a huge issue. Chapter 19, verse 1. Pilate then took him and scourged him. That means he flogged him. That means they whipped him. That means they took him and tied him to a post. And there's these Roman beastly soldiers who began to wrap that whip that might have had stone or flint or something in the end of it to just shred the body of Jesus. And then the soldiers put together a crown of thorns. And they put it on his head and they put on him a purple robe, which was loyal. They're just making fun of him. They're mocking him. They began to come up to him and say, hail, King of the Jews. They began to slap him in his face. Then Pilate came out again and said to them, behold, I am bringing him out to you so that you may know that I find no guilt in this man. So when the chief priests and the officers saw him, they began to cry out, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him. The Jews answered him, said, we have a law that by this law he ought to die because he made himself out to be the Son of God. Therefore, Pilate heard this statement and he was even more afraid. Look at this, verse 12. And as a result of this, Pilate made efforts to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, if you release him, you know our friend is Caesar. Everyone who makes himself to be out a king opposes Caesar. Therefore, when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down in the judgment seat of the place called the pavement in Hebrew, it's Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about the sixth hour. And he said to the Jews, behold, your king. Look at Pilate. He kept pushing the issue. Jesus was king. Whether he saw something, I don't know. Whether he looked in his eyes and maybe believed for a moment, just maybe possibly, maybe something about him has authority. Maybe there's something about him that has power. Maybe there's something about him that he has a rightful throne somewhere. So he presents again to the people of Israel. Here's your king. Look at what they say. Verse 15, so they cried out, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to him, shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, we have no king, but Caesar. Number two of this is this, Jesus is born unknown to Bethlehem. And Jesus, the king, gave his life. And it was unknown to his own people. Unknown to Jerusalem, where they took Jesus, they hung him on a cross, they pounded the nails into his hands and in his feet, and they put him up for all to see in between two thieves and robbers and who were murderers. And there is Jesus, who is born King of the Jews, who was presented as the king. We have no king but Caesar. He is not our king. What happened to just a few days ago when you were hailing him as king? What happened just a few days ago when he's coming off the mountain into Jerusalem on a colt and you're laying your clothes down and you're laying your branches down, the palm branches, and you're waving because you believe he's king? What happened just a few days ago where people are now walking by the cross, mocking, walking on the, by the cross, spitting at him, walking on the cross. Hey, if you're the king, if you truly are God, take yourself off the cross and then you can save us. Gang, he could have. At any moment, Jesus, who was king, who was God, could have come off that cross and demanded that everybody get on their knees and worship him as king. The Bible says that he had 72,000 angels. 72,000 angels ready to go at any moment. Don't you know that I can cry out to my Father, get 72,000 angels down here in a minute? That's not the way it's got to go. One angel, folks, wipes out 195,000 people. 72,000. And he says, that's not the way. And here the king hangs on a cross. We know that Mary was at the feet. We know that his disciples were there who at one point all abandoned him, all left him. And you could imagine Mary at the feet of the cross, going back to the Old Testament, going back to when Jesus was born, going back to her perfect son, going back to the one who has seen the authority, who has seen the kingship, who has seen the royalty, who understands how amazing, how special that he really is God on a cross. He is God with us. He is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And I mean, you could imagine mom at the end, at the foot of the cross when they're spitting on him and they're mocking him and they're making fun of him. Oh, you could imagine Mary at that moment. He is a king. He is the Savior of the world. He is the Messiah. If you could only know the dream, if you could only know Gabriel showed up, if you could only know what he's done in the 33 years, if you only, why are you spitting on my son? Is it not enough that you can't even recognize that he's a human being? I could imagine mom's heart, Moms are moms. The Bible says that it is as if her own side would be pierced. And when they stuck that spear in her son's side, you could imagine. He is the king. He is my son. He was born king. Bethlehem wanted nothing to do with him. My mom's at the foot of the cross going, he hangs as king. His own people want nothing to do with him. Amazing. I'm going to read something to you. But gang, we know, for you and I, to be redeemed, for you and I to have our sins forgiven, for you and I to recognize what it is to have an eternity in heaven with God Almighty, with Christ the King. That is exactly what had to happen. That is exactly what had to take place. That Jesus, who was King, had to go to a cross. He who was perfect and without sin had to lay his life down as a sacrifice for you and me. And gang, there are so many who hear the name of Jesus and refuse and say, not for me. I'm taking a different route. I'm going plan B. And they never recognize that Jesus, who took the hit for them, who took the hit that their sins would be forgiven, who took the hit that they could be set free, that they could be healed, that they could be delivered, who took the hit that they would have a life for all eternity in the kingdom of God, forever and ever in his presence and worship. And they say, not for me, not my king. But gang, this is the deal. See, Jesus reigns as king. And I tell you what, the Bible is very clear that regardless of anyone's rejection, if it would be too late for those who say, I'm going plan B, I can do it myself, I'm good enough, I went to church, I did this class, I did that class, oh, I attended Believer's Chapel, I'm in. Nope. You're in when you recognize that you are lost without Jesus Christ. And you are in when you repent and turn from your sin to say, Jesus, you are the only way. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father except through me. That's it. You don't like it? Don't know what to tell you, but that's it. Jesus said, I am it. I'm the only way. He hung on a cross and said, it is finished. Everything that ever had to happen for salvation to take place is done. The sacrifice, which is perfect and holy and pure, is done. And that opened the doors of access for all every single one who has ever had breath to come to Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior and understand what it is to be redeemed and to understand what it is that my sin has been forgiven and it's a one-track deal and it's Christ and it's Christ alone. And when we get this, we understand this as a church, we understand this as individual, we look and say, Jesus, you're it. You're the only answer. And Jesus, you were born king. Jesus, you did die a king. And it's known to me. And I get it. And I understand it. And there's a day that Jesus reigns as king. Philippians 2 and Romans 14. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, that every knee will bow to me, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So that at the name of Jesus, look at this. What do you do before a king, folks? You get on your face, you bow down before a king. Look at this. So that the name of Jesus, he is king, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. See, folks, there's for those, it will be just too late. For those, it will be just, they just don't get it. They've rejected, they've said no, they've tried their own way. But Jesus reigns as king. And I tell you what, point number three is this. When Jesus reigns as king, rest assured, it will not go unnoticed. It will be known to every person in heaven, on earth, and under earth. You know what that is? That is every single person who has ever had breath will recognize he was king, and I blew it, and I missed it, and it's too late. Look at this. This is huge. Revelation 19. This is amazing, amazing close to Christ. This is the deal. We know that he was born king biblically. We know God makes it a huge deal that he died king. And we know that God makes it a huge deal biblically in Revelation 19 as his return as king. And I saw the heavens open and behold, a white horse who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And his righteousness, he judges and wages war. This is Christ. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and on his heads are crowns or diadems, and he has a name written on him which no one except himself knows. He's clothed, you can read with me on this, look at this. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood. He is clothed with a robe that's dipped in blood. Listen, this is Jesus. He is on his return. He's on the white horse. You've got the church behind him. Jesus is coming back. Look at, as what? As king. Now look at this. He is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in linen and white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword. So with it, he may strike down the nations, and he will rule them. What do kings do? They rule with a rod of iron. And he treads in winepresses in fierce wrath of God Almighty. Look at the verse 16. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Jesus is king, gang, and I'm telling you, it's a big deal. I'm telling you that the Bible over and over from the beginning to the end references the king, references the one who will reign, references the one who takes his throne, the reference who says, listen, he will have a kingdom, and to that kingdom there will be no end. It will never end. And Jesus returns as king, and there will be a day that every knee will bow and that every tongue will confess that he is king. And I tell you what, I am so thankful. I'm so grateful that I recognize it now, that I see it now, because time is clicking, folks. Time is clicking. And Believer's Chapel says it is urgent. It is urgent to recognize that we need to be right before God. We need to be right before Jesus and recognize that He is King, that we would bow down and confess our sin, repent and turn from our sin, believe and surrender to Him as King. The Bible says to confess Him as Lord. That means divine, kingship, surrender, because He has power, all authority, because He is the King of Kings. See, Jesus did come, and He was born in a manger. But He was King. And He did come to put Himself on a cross to be the sacrifice for all mankind, for every sin ever committed. And He did it as King. And He will return and He will reign for all eternity as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Let's bow our heads, please. We have so many people here that I don't know. We have so many people here that I have no idea where your faith is. I have no idea what you've trusted in for your eternal security. But I'm telling you on this Christmas service that Jesus is the only answer. And I'm telling you that Jesus loves you and He cares for you. For God so loved the world that He gave. That's the deal. God loved you. He gave His only Son. That if you would cry out Him, Jesus, and only Jesus, the Bible says you can have eternal life. And it's only through Christ. It's us recognizing that He is King now. And it's us confessing that He is Lord, that He is Almighty. It is us confessing, Jesus, You took the hit for me. Jesus, You paid the price for me. Jesus, You bought me back. Jesus, I'm redeemed because of what You've done for me. And Jesus, You're the only way. It's not church. It's not Believer's Chapel. It's not classes. It's Christ. That's what it is. That's what it always is.
Man, I don't know where you're at this morning. Maybe you have understood that.
And you let the enemy just come in and just so beat you up. In church, I'm saying I think one of the worst things that can happen is we allow doubt to show up. We begin to doubt our faith. We begin to doubt who we are. We begin to doubt different things. The world is so heavy at times, and there's so many different opinions out there at times, and all the news and all the trash and all the difficulties and all the hard times, and we just sometimes just don't get it. And say, God, is it real? God, are You there? God, what is taking place? I hear all of these worldviews. I hear all the different ideas, and God, I just don't see it. How could there be so much evil? How could there be so much wrong? God, and then the enemy just comes in, and he just puts that seed of doubt in our lives. We know Christ is King. We know that this is real. We believe Your word. Sometimes it can just be overpowering. Or that past just keeps coming up. Or the things of the world just get worse. And we're thinking, what is going on? Folks, if you don't know Christ as Lord and Savior, I'm asking you, please. The Bible is very clear. That it is Christ and it is Christ alone. The Bible is very clear that we confess that He is Lord, that He is all power, that He is all authority, that He is divine. And we repent and turn from our sin and believe that Jesus, by the cross, I am saved. Jesus, I believe that You've been raised from the dead. I know that You're alive. And I know that You're sitting at the right hand of the Father. Jesus, I know that You're a King now. And I confess and I believe. And I'm asking You, Father, to forgive me of my sin. Folks, that is on you. I am begging you to understand what it is to have a true knowledge of Christ based on our sin, based on our separation from Him, based on sin. To have a need for Him in our lives. And then we're going to sing this last song, and I'm asking. Man, I'm hoping that this song speaks to you. Because I'm telling you what, I think there are times that doubt comes in. And it can be one of the worst things. When you know that you believe something so strongly, and then over a course of time, you revisit that. And it's not just so strong. It's not as strong as it once was. And you're going, what happened? Where'd my faith go? What took place to get me so far away from that which I knew? Gang, I'm telling you what, that I know this with everything in me, that Jesus is going to return. And I know this with everything in me, that His kingdom is going to be established. And I know that with everything in me, everything written in this book is absolute, accurate, and true. And that we who understand it and walk in great faith recognize our doubts will be crushed. When we know and believe, we will see Jesus return. We will see heaven. My sins are forgiven. And I get it. And I understand it. And we will, regardless of the fight, regardless of how many times the enemy pounds us in the face, we know that Jesus forgives. We know that my sin is forgiven. I understand that, and we will see. There will be a day that I stand in his presence where he looks at me and says, well done, a good and faithful servant. Do not let doubt get a grip on your heart, folks. Because it is our goal to stand before him. Have God look at you and say, you fought the good fight. And you finished so strong. Well done, the good and faithful servant.